There's No Business Like Show Business from the summer 2007 production of Annie Get Your Gun, presented by Stage Door Manor in Loch Sheldrake, New York, the heart of the Borscht Belt. About 900 kids each summer attend the camp, and many of them have gone on to establish careers in show business. In a book called Theater Geek, The Real-Life Drama of a Summer at Stage Door Manor, the famous performing arts camp, Mickey Rapkin, a senior editor at GQ, follows one summer session. The book is published by Gotham, and I'm very pleased that Mr. Rapkin has joined us today to share what he did during his summer vacation a couple of years ago. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm picturing a summer camp with a theater focus, putting on shows, but also nature hikes, canoe trips, swimming pool, basketball court.
Think again. There is a basketball court, but I don't think anyone has used it in probably 20 years. It's basically the kids wake up and they put on, they rehearse all day and take tap dancing classes and Shakespeare classes. It's full theater.
So did you get the feeling that you were at a summer camp or a conservatory?
It is much more a conservatory than a traditional summer camp. They had an indoor pool, which was amazing, and they've just paved it over to build an indoor theater.
Because nobody was going swimming?
Maybe once a summer.
Actors like swimming, don't they? How old is the camp?
The camp was started in the 70s, and it started as a tiny place and has just ballooned into this massive enterprise.
Well, considering all the problems it had in the 70s, is it a miracle that it survived?
Yeah, it's amazing. The camp almost closed and just had a complete turnaround in the 80s as sort of famous people started sending their kids there. And the word was getting out that if you wanted to be a professional actor, this was the place to send your child.
It almost closed because there were accusations of staff molesting children. There was a lot of drug abuse.
I wouldn't say the molestation at all, but I would say there was certainly a running out of some funds and a rundown facility and just a lack of enrollment. You know, it was just a period where you didn't send your teenage boy didn't ask to go to theater camp. It was just a different era.
So what happened? What changed it? I mean, the 70s and the 80s aren't all that different, are they?
I think it was just a matter of getting the word out, you know, and suddenly people like Robert Downey Jr. and Jennifer Jason Leigh, their name got out there as having started at this strange little theater camp, and the word spread.
Tell us about Jack Romano.
Jack Romano is a fascinating character. He was this gay Cuban immigrant that was an acting teacher and somehow found his way to this theater camp, and he was very demanding of the kids, and he would scream at them and curse at them and throw full cans of soda at them and chairs, things that you would never get away with today, but he really inspired this generation of talent.
And the kids loved him.
I mean, the kids loved him. They loved him and hated him. You know, John Cryer went to the camp and told me this very funny story about how Jack finally cast him in a show and said, "Oh, John, I always wanted you to be in one of my shows." And John Cryer said to him, "Well, you're the head of the casting committee. If you had wanted me in one of your shows, you could have very well had me."
Well, why wouldn't he have cast John Cryer, who's a real talent?
He is. There's a lot of talented kids there, though.
Is the school structure pretty much the same today as it was in the past?
Yeah, it's very much the same. You know, really a rigorous academic program. You know, the kids are – everyone's cast in a show and you rehearse in the morning and then you take your classes in the afternoon and you rehearse in the evenings. You know, the thing that struck me the most was just how hard these kids work for a summer camp.
Do they have to audition to get in?
No, that's the great thing. I mean, the camp fills up early but no auditions.
So there are some kids with a lot of talent and some kids with less talent.
Absolutely. But it's nice for those kids that don't have so much talent, that aren't bursting with it, to see what's out there, you know, and to see what is possible.
Although I'm sure there are a few kids who showed up with what they thought was a little talent who
turned
into butterflies.
Absolutely.
But for every Tevye, there's also the rest of Anna Tevka to fill. Do the kids in the choruses play their roles with the same enthusiasm, or do they resent as John Cryer did?
No, there's this really – these kids treat themselves very seriously. In the time I was there, the camp put on a Sondheim festival, which was a very big deal. And these kids in Sweeney Todd, even the kids in the chorus, they would sit there and they would have to come up with a backstory. The director wanted them to have a backstory for their character. And these kids would come up with these elaborate stories of how they were living on the streets and eating out of Mrs. Lovett's garbage cans.
Well, the kids may have loved it, but when the daughter of Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love attended the camp, Didn't Courtney complain that the parents were paying $5,000 for the kids to play what she called some tertiary role?
Yeah, yes, she was. She very much was upset to find out that Frances Bean was cast in leader of the pack, but not as not in a lead role, but in the chorus. And she came up to camp to visit and made a bit of a scene, dressed up, and may or may not have cursed at a hot dog vendor.
Do they also does everybody have to perform, or do they also have a tech track?
There's a very small group that can do go to study makeup or backstage work, but the majority of the kids are there to be on stage.
To write this book, you pretty much enrolled as a camper for one season.
Yeah, it was this amazing opportunity.
You were 34 years old, 31 years old.
31, please don't age me.
31. How old are the kids? 10, 11, 12?
The kids range in age from 10 to 18.
And they accepted you?
Yeah, I was a little worried. You know, I showed up on the first day that they would think, who is this weird old guy sitting in the cafeteria pretending he's a kid? But you start to
Sounds
blend
like
in.
The plot of a movie.
Exactly. But they're very accepting kids. And we're sort of, I think, happy to have someone hanging out and watching them, cheering them on.
Were you just cheering them on, or were you attempting to also perform?
No, I was not. I kept my urges in check to get up there and do a little singing.
My guest is Mickey Rapkin, who's written a book called Theater Geek, the real life drama of a summer at Stage Room Manor, the famous performing arts camp. It is published by Free Press. The book, as I said, is titled Theater Geek, and it makes a point that Stage Room Manor is a place where outcasts come to. Explain the camp social hierarchy.
Well, it's this amazing place where the kids who are the most popular are the kids who are the most talented. You know, in high school, there's always the most popular kids. Maybe he come from the richest families, or, you know.
This is the plot of Glee, actually. The kids who perform are usually the outcasts. And are considered weirdos.
Right, exactly. But then you show up at this camp and the coolest kids are the people who can hit that higher note and can do something on stage that everybody else only dreams of.
So these are kids who've always felt like they were treated as nerds and geeks, and now suddenly they're respected?
Yeah, I think that they come there to fit in, to be, you know, suddenly they show up and there are a lot of kids just like them who also listen to cast albums all the time. And yeah, they show up and they feel like a part of something.
Well, one of the most interesting aspects of what I learned from this book is the kids' elevated maturity. You mentioned doing Sondheim and some other plays that might very well be considered a little too adult if they try to do them in a high school production. They're tackling rape, abortion, AIDS, drugs, stripping.
Yeah, the kids are treated as adults. You know, we're gonna put on. There's no reason you can't do six Sondheim shows in 3 weeks with the original librettos, and the kids are. They work, you know. I was sitting on the first nice. It rains a lot in the Catskills, and on the first really nice day of the summer, I was sitting down in the basement with these kids, thinking, "Don't they just want to be outside running around? But they would rather be plodding through their notes."
But there are some people who might be disturbed at the thought that there's a 14-year-old kid who is blocking a scene in which he rapes Sweeney Todd's wife.
But it is the theater, you know. The theater and theater kids are very mature. Michael Ian Black, who went to the camp and has his own show on Comedy Central, told me this funny anecdote about him being in Equus and just saying, you know, stage door is its own special animal, a lavender sparkly animal. And the kids, theater kids, don't mind enacting rape scenes.
Also, it seems that the kids are handling identity issues as early as 10 years old. They're coming out of the closet. A lot of gay kids go to this camp.
I mean, I think the camp is very accepting, and it is a theater camp, so you will get that. I don't know that there are 10-year-olds coming out. I think that may be I don't know that anyone recognized that at that point, but sure, there are high school kids who just come, and like any high school kid anywhere, is exploring their identity.
Although they can come out in this environment because they know the other kids are probably grappling with their own issues.
Exactly. It's just a real accepting environment.
What are the sexual and race balances? Do we see equal numbers of boys and girls?
It is. There are still more girls than boys at the camp. You know, in the very early years, they had to give, even though they didn't have any money, they had to give scholarships to boys just to get them to come. But a few years ago, they built an addition, 4 extra rooms onto the boys' dorm, and there's suddenly a waiting list for boys, which shows a real shift in that acceptability in the culture.
What about minority kids?
Sure, there are certainly minority kids there.
Would there be enough for a production of Porgy and Bess?
I don't know that the camp has done Porgy and Bess. They did do The Wiz a few years ago.
So who's on the teaching staff? Are these all people whose names I would recognize?
I don't know that you would necessarily recognize them, but they're people who are, what I found surprising, where they're often people who are working in New York. You know, it's not this Waiting for Guffman weird scenario where these people are larger than life in their head. They're actually New York. You know, they have legitimate credits. One of the guys who was the music director on In the Heights who was on the music director for Sweeney Todd when I was up at the camp, got at that job being the music director for the national tour of In the Heights. Like, he went right from stage door to this. You know, they're working professionals.
You sat in on the auditions.
Yes.
Auditions are always unfair, no matter what. The kids are given 2 minutes each for singing
It's
Castle
just,
on a Cloud.
Just like a professional audition. You know, the kids work with their 16 bars, and they get up there and walk out, and it's dark in the theater, and it's just like a chorus line. You know, all you see from the stage is that little piano light, and please, now you can do your song, and it's just they give it a go.
So when it's all done and they get the production going, is it of high quality?
Yes, very much high quality. It's still limited means, you know, 3 weeks. You know, the budgets aren't extraordinary.
They don't have a lot of sets.
It's not elevators coming out of the floor, but you would be amazed what a kid can do standing on stage in 3 weeks.
Well, what do these kids want? Any discussion about young performance these days? Performers these days will inevitably get to American Idol. Is that what these kids aspire to?
I think there's definitely this vibe at the camp, you know, that casting directors are going to come through, and if I do my job, if I'm really good, maybe I can be discovered. But you're going to find that anywhere these days. I mean, this is such a culture of American Idol and reality shows where people think, I'm going to be famous tomorrow. I don't have to put in all of this time. It's going to happen for me soon.
And they want to be famous, these kids?
I think every kid today wants to be famous. I think you're going to find that everywhere in the culture. But these kids are what I like about them is that they have a work ethic, which you don't see everywhere. And the kids who thrive there work hard.
Are they given some kind of sense of just how difficult this business really is?
I think it is creeping in for them. I mean, it is what I like about it is it's a bit removed from the real world. But then you have a casting director come in, and these kids sit around, and did they talk to you after? What did they ask you? Did you get to audition? There's a bit of that. It's competitive. I mean, let's be honest about it.
So there are talent scouts who are coming and
yeah, it's like
watching
Disney,
these kids?
Disney Theatricals will send someone to pass through, and the talent agency Paradigm has sent people up there to scout. The camp is selective about it, but that's certainly at the performance weekend at the end of the summer. There's someone in there taking notes with a pad that could change your life.
How many kids every summer?
They do 3 3-week sessions, 300 kids each session. So
it's 900 kids.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that only a tiny percentage of them wind up in the business.
The tiniest percentage. But you would – I think there's something – one of these teachers said something really nice to me at the end of the book about – the idea that just even if you don't succeed, but you see someone else succeed, it teaches you to think bigger and to dream bigger. It sounds so cliche and corny even as I'm saying it now, but just seeing that opportunity and what's possible is just the beginning.
Were you able to talk to some of the people who didn't make it?
I talked to a bunch of them, and a lot of people end up in other fields. Yeah. And they don't regret the time. I was worried that people would regret the time, you know, if you were a star at theater camp and it didn't happen for you after, that you would somehow resent that experience. But I found them, for the most part, to be very well adjusted and happy to have had that experience.
But as you said earlier, one of the reasons that kids want to go here is that there are so many famous people who have gone through this, and kids of famous people
Absolutely.
Who've gone through this. Can you name a few?
Yeah, I mean, anyone from Meatloaf, Joan London, Richard Dreyfuss. It's a big mix. Ron Howard. They all sent children there. Nora Ephron.
And some of these kids are working. Well, you said John Cryer was working, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, there's a long list of people who work, you know. Even Leah Michelle from Glee, who's much more recent, she went there as a kid. And she had already been working on Broadway and then went to Stage Door and didn't get a lead. And she was very – she was very similar to her character on Glee in saying that she was fine to not have a lead because I'm working professionally in the rest of the year, so I'm happy to take a break at camp.
Did they actually get anything out of this? There are camps that basketball camps, for example, where kids learn the kinds of skills that actually help them in their future. But this sounds to me like it's all just, hey, Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, let's put on a show kind of thing.
It is, but you're learning confidence. You know, even John Cryer said to me that when he was in high school, he was never the lead in a show, and he was very hunched over and not himself, you know, the way we would think of him now. You know, and the camp taught him to stand up straight and put his shoulders back and step out there.
Well, I mentioned that Courtney Love was annoyed that her kid wasn't getting a starring role. Some of these other people with a lot of money also can be difficult. Richard Dreyfuss wanted his kid to arrive by helicopter.
Yes, Richard Dreyfuss called and, do you mind if I fly in by helicopter and land on your field? To which the camp office said, are you crazy? Like, these kids are going to get ridiculed for showing up in a helicopter.
On the other hand, I'd imagine that some kids, if the child of a celebrity gets chosen for the leading role, the other kids are going to say, well, what do you expect? He's so-and-so's son.
I didn't find that to be the case. You know, one of my favorite stories is that Bruce Willis and Demi Moore sent one of their daughters to camp, and they were on the waiting list. They got in off the waiting list, but for a while they were on the wait list.
So I guess the first group is already packing up to go to camp this year?
Yeah, camp starts in a few weeks. I can't believe it.
How did the alumni you interviewed talk about their memories, whether they're in the business or not? Did they saw this as preparation for life?
Yeah, I think they did, and they were really happy to take a minute out of their adult life to sit back and reflect on this weird, crazy time they spent at this silly theater camp in the Catskills.
And the camp we're talking about is Stage Door Manor. My great thanks to Mickey Rapkin, who is at GQ when he's not doing this sort of thing. He's the senior editor at GQ. His first book was Pitch Perfect, The Quest for Collegiate Acapella Glory. Now he's written Theater Geek, The Real Life Drama of a Summer at Stage Door Manor, the famous performing arts camp. It is published by Free Press. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.